Tonight, for our communion meditation, we're going to be doing something a little bit different in that it's not so much a message preached as it is scripture reading from a little bit different perspective, combination of both the Old and the New Testament in relationship to Isaiah chapter 53. All of the verses will be on the screen for you tonight, but you are obviously welcome if you want to specifically follow along in Isaiah 53, or you can look up on the screen as I read from them. You realize that fulfilled prophecy is one of the ways that the Bible demonstrates that it is supernaturally the inspired word of God. Coincidence could not possibly be the explanation for the hundreds of Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And really, there's no passage that more vividly or more specifically portrays the details of the suffering of the Messiah than Isaiah chapter 53, the text that describes the suffering servant. You understand, of course, that it was penned 700 years before the birth of Jesus. 700 years earlier, it was prophesied what Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would do and how he would suffer. Details are given to us like he would be despised and rejected of men. He would be misunderstood in terms of why he was there and who he was. He would suffer for our sins, Isaiah 53 tells us. It also tells us that he would have our sins placed upon him. He would have his very life taken from him as if he was a criminal, and we all know that he was not. The text also tells us that he would be buried like a wealthy man. There's such a contrast to be crucified like a criminal and buried like a wealthy man. Isaiah 53 tells us that his death would satisfy the just wrath of God as an offering for sin, and that ultimately someday he would enjoy the rewards of the spiritual victory he accomplished on Calvary's cross. Of course, we understand this a lot better through the lens of the New Testament. Someone put it this way, and I'm sure you've heard this before: the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. The Old Testament, the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. And so as we come to understand the Bible better through the New Testament, we really understand Isaiah 53 in a greater way and to a greater degree because of its fulfillment in the New Testament. And so tonight we're going to read Isaiah chapter 53 alongside of the New Testament passages that will amplify the fulfillment and the meaning of this Old Testament text in Isaiah 53. And so you can read along or listen as I read about the suffering servant in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I want to begin by reading Isaiah 53:1, and typically what we'll do is much like what you see, we'll see on this very first screen. I'll read the Isaiah 53 verse and then at least some, if not most, of its New Testament fulfillment. Isaiah 53:1, the Bible says this: "Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" John 12, 37 through 40 states, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" Romans 10, verse 16 says this: "But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?'" 1 Corinthians 1, 18 states: "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And then Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3 state the following: "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." John 1 comments on that in verses 10 and 11. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And then in Luke 18, the Bible states the following verses in verses 31 through 34. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. And then in Matthew 27, we see that fulfilled and portrayed for us. The Bible describes the suffering of Christ in Matthew 27, 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Isaiah 53, verse 4. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and has carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Matthew 8, 17. "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Hebrews 9, 28. "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." And then in 1 Peter 2, 24, "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Matthew again portrays that in Matthew 27, verses 39 through 44, where the Bible says, "And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, 'He who saved others himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing." Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Romans 4, 25 says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And then in 1 Peter 3:18 we read, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." We read in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned unto the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Romans 3:10 through 12, "As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." And then Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Matthew 26, 63, "But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Matthew 27, 12 through 14. And when he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not a word, so that the governor marveled greatly. 1 Peter 2, 23. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Isaiah 53, verses 8 and 9. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Matthew 27, 57 through 60. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be taken to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. 1 Peter 2, verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. 1 John 3, 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Acts 2, 23. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. 1 John 2, 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. John 1, 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." 1 Corinthians 5, 7. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And then Isaiah 53 and verse 11. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Romans 5, 18 and 19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And then finally, Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Mark 15, 28. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. You see, Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy of the suffering servant, who, though he was despised and rejected, died as the sacrifice for our sin. And tonight, as we gather around the Lord's table and hold a little tiny piece of bread, It will remind us of Jesus' body that was broken for us. As we partake, may we reflect on Christ's wonderful, perfect fulfillment of that prophecy in Isaiah 53. And as we hold that little cup filled with grape juice, may it remind us of the sinless blood of Christ that was shed for us. And may we remember that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And may our hearts be ever thankful that Christ perfectly fulfilled what was prophesied in Isaiah 53. Would you pray with me?